Welcome to Create the Movement podcast. Create the Movement is an online marketing team focused on collaborating with law firms and businesses nationwide. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement. Welcome back to this edition of Create the Movement podcast. I am excited and just humbled to be with a great, long-time friend of mine, Jamie Stevens. Jamie, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Brad.
Good, good. We're actually best friends, I think, or at least you were my best friend, I guess, in maybe third or fourth grade elementary school. Is that right? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, okay. You know, on through seventh grade.
And, yeah, that's right.
I remember we've got quite a few stories, if I remember correctly.
Yes, we do. Yes, absolutely. So, but yeah, we kind of went to a huge high school and kind of, I think Jamie was much smarter than me, so we didn't have any classes together. Is that right?
I don't remember it that way, okay. But that's true. We didn't have many classes together, right. But I somehow found a way to avoid working too hard in high school. So, I'm not sure how I did that, but
yeah. Well, man, it's really good. We reconnected, probably what, about 2 or 3 years ago. Been what about maybe 10 or 15 years since we'd connected, right? I mean,
yeah, you know, after high school, you know, a lot of us went our own ways, and both of us left Tulsa, and you know, going back to Tulsa, I go back home, I don't get a chance to talk to everyone, but it was really great to get reconnected with you.
Yeah, and I was just excited to hear your story, and that's kind of what I want to get into. You're with you've got two things going, or multiple things going. One, you started a company called Booked, and also you are the CMO of Lyft Division. Is that correct? Or
yeah.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about kind of your journey, Jamie, as an entrepreneur.
Sure thing. Yeah. You know, I started off, I've been in tech for about the last 20 years now, and mostly building software. After I got a humanities degree in classical languages when I went to the university and graduated and had no idea what I was going to do with it. And so I went back and decided to get a computer science degree, and right at the time when the dot-com boom was getting big, and so I was able to do some really interesting stuff in the early days, and then over several years found myself consulting on my own. And so as I was a consultant, the thing that I was really most interested in doing is finding a product that could really help people. And I happened to be working in the photography industry quite a bit, helping a large digital imaging company use software and use technology to help photographers get their digital images and it turned into products so they could sell them to their customers. And so one of the big needs that we saw, the number one need for photographers was to be able to sell their images online. And that was what everyone was trying to address. But the number two need was the ability for them to be able to have their customers schedule an appointment with them. And so I identified that as a good opportunity to make a product. And so came up with Booked, started marketing it towards photographers. And but we built it in such a way that it could be used for any service company. So there's a number of companies out there that are like this, that allow you to build, create a page or a kind of a portal to be able to accept appointments. But we kind of took a position of we wanted it to be really fit with the photographer's brand. So it has a website builder in it and so forth.
That's Booked, BOOKD.com, correct?
That's right. Okay. Yeah. We couldn't afford the E at the time. So we went with the apostrophe. Yeah. That's it. And so, yeah, it's been interesting. We've gone Booked, and that path has gone through a number of different hills and valleys. So, you know, early on, we had quite a bit of interest. And when we first launched, we got some publicity. We had, you know, here I am sitting in the Midwest and having venture capital companies from the coast giving us a call and interested in what we're doing. And knowing that I didn't want to move, I, after meeting with a couple of them, decided to not go that route and continue to bootstrap because the requirement was to move to the coast.
Yep.
And so continued to bootstrap, took on, was growing it slowly, organically, and took on a little bit of funding. And that was an interesting point in the journey, and that now you're not just answering when you take on funding, you're not just answering to customers who you're there to serve, but you're also answering investors. And
right.
So I've learned a lot about investors and making sure you have investors who are really, really on board with your vision, and making sure making sure I'm communicating my vision to investors. And so, so we went through that. As you know, and we went through, we started building out a platform for Booked that would be a little bit different and approach the market in a different way. And we got a partway through that, and kind of we ran out of funds to do it, and so that kind of put a stall on it for a little bit. And it was both a kind of a hard thing, but a really good thing, because we tried to do something that, we weren't able to it. So what we had to do is go back to the customers and really just listen to them and dig in and say, what do you really need? What is it that you really, that you absolutely have to have, rather than us coming up with things that we think you might need and trying to put something together? How can we focus on you? And since then, it's been very positive, and we've had very good support from our customers, and being able to, and I feel like we've been able to build something that we're proud of and are having fun with.
That's exciting. You've got customers nationwide, or is it internationally, or
We have a few international customers.
Okay.
We can mostly English speaking countries, although we do every now and then have non-English speaking countries sign up. We just right now we don't have since we do allow people to accept payments, and so we only handle payments for English speaking countries at this time. So
okay.
Great Britain, Australia, Canada, and the United States are countries where you can sign up and take full advantage of the tool.
Okay. Good deal. And, well, tell us a story about, Lyft Division. That's kind of consuming a lot of your time right now, correct?
It is. That's absolutely right. Yeah. About halfway through that process, in 2010, I guess. So it's pretty early in the process, really. It seems about halfway, but, So 2010, I was really pushing hard on Booked and working with a friend who was getting his marketing company going. He does a lot of SEO and content marketing, and we saw a lot of synergy in the kinds of things that we were doing together. And we decided that, hey, while I'm working on this, while I'm working on pushing Booked and getting it going, why don't we do some things together? And we decided that come together and bring the software and the marketing together, and we created a company called Lyft Division, focused on really mostly local companies, small locally owned companies, or maybe some mid-sized, helping them really just multiply their marketing efforts and using technology to multiply what they were doing online. And that's really been the vision for Lyft Division from day one.
Okay. It's very similar to what we do. It's exciting to talk shop with you, Jamie. That was 2010, but then Book started taking off and you kind of had to put it on the back burner to Lyft Division, or where did that take you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So it was a kind of a windy road. So what happened is, Booked started taking off at the same time that
Lift
Lyft
Division, yeah.
Division was looking for just kind of a different direction. And so we sold Lyft Division to another company, and they continued on with Lyft Division after that. And so and then I continued on doing Booked and some other projects during that time. And then it came about that the very first client that we had, the As Lyft Division, was a company in mid-Missouri called Service Noodle. And they were the first client that we had where we mapped out as a product, as a business director, we mapped everything out for them. Well, they decided that they needed to offer more services and be more of a service provider for companies than just what they were doing. So they bought Lyft Division. And so Lyft Division ends up being bought by its very first client, and whom the founder is a great guy that I've known for years. And after I saw what he was doing with the company and how he was the direction he was taking it, I saw an opportunity to come on board with him. And the two of us, and as well as another partner, have been working very closely and been pushing hard to make a really make a difference here in mid-Missouri.
And you guys have kind of grown the team, or you guys have a pretty big team now, right?
We do.
That's awesome. And are you guys
Yeah.
more local focused there in Columbia, or is it nationwide, or
Yeah, you know, we have a quite an array of customers now. We do have we've had custom a lot of our customers here are here in Missouri. We have a lot in St. Louis. We're branching out more there. We've got some customers in on the East Coast from North Carolina and Georgia all the way up to New York and in Canada and Washington State.
Oh, awesome.
So we are branching out. But I would say that a lot of our customers are here in Missouri.
Okay, great. Well, just what's kind of one thing, Jamie, that's really exciting to you about your business right now?
Oh man, there's so many exciting things going on right now, not just with our business, but I mean in our industry, and just watching how quickly it's changing and how the rules are changing just constantly. So I think the thing that's really intriguing me the most right now is especially with content marketing is and this might be more specific than you're looking for, so I'm not
No,
sure. So maybe you can
it's perfect.
something that's really exciting me right now is the idea of curated messaging.
Okay.
This is something it came up working with Booked. When we're working with Booked, we realize we're more than just an operational tool to help people with scheduling appointments, but really it's we became more and more over time a marketing tool to help people get their message out there. And one of the hardest things with people knowing with companies, they know they need to get regular messaging out, regular newsletters, regular content out, but it's such a challenge for them to find it and find relevant content and to just the discovery of it. And so what you've seen over the last several years is a lot more focused a lot more tools focused on curating content, and then how that content you've seen things like Scoop It and even like Product Hunt is a really good example where you have curated content, you have a large community coming together and pulling this together, and then getting it into a different form to get out to people. And so one of the things that we're really excited about is helping customers do that better too, because we feel like that that's one of the areas where we can multiply their resources more than a lot of areas. So we've really been focusing on that and finding new ways to where we can find quality content. Now, we do a lot of content creation ourselves, so it's not that we're getting away from that, but trying to find ways to not introduce new habits, new behavior for our clients, but find ways that they can leverage the existing things they're doing, the reading, their constant. Our best clients are always learning and reading, and if they can leverage that and take some of that and then reshare it with their audience, then we find that we have a winning solution. So we've been working on tools ourselves that allow them to do that, and we're pretty excited. We're pretty excited about some of the systems that we've developed and to be able to help our clients do more without feeling like they're spending more time. And so, and we've been, the category we've been kind of putting that in is this idea of curated messaging. Curate the things that you find are important, maybe annotate them, put some context on them, and then share them back out with your audience. And so anyway, that's something we're excited about. It's a trend I've seen within the industry in general, and it's something that we're trying to dig our heels into as well.
That's good stuff. That's really good stuff. We I had kind of a win yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, but I became a Huffington Post contributor, and
I saw that.
Yeah, so
congratulations.
Yeah, I don't know if Google's going to index it or get us the link back, but yeah, if you could just like it or whatnot, it all depends on the editor on whether they like it or share it with their network. But but yeah, I got some traction on that, so that was kind of neat.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Also with what we're doing here now, you know, just podcasting, we'll have the content written out, and it's just all about sharing information.
It is. And you know, you guys are creating content all day long. You're writing articles, yeah. You're tweeting, you're on Facebook, you're doing things all day long. And what we find is that's the same. Most business owners are. But one of the things that we found is that email is still one of the highest converting channel. For most businesses, and that if you have a solid list of people who are reading your emails, then when you put something out there for them, that you ask them for something, your conversion is typically higher than on other channels. And so what we wanted to do is really combine those two things. So if people are, you've got like you're creating podcasts, or even more than that, you're liking podcasts. Yep. You're listening to podcasts. So you're out on SoundCloud, you favorite a podcast, you're on Amazon and you bookmark some books, you're on, let's say, Twitter, and you're liking a tweet. So we've created a tool that allows you to pull all of that together, use those assets that you have in your normal flow of life, and normal flow of working with media and social media, to pull all those together and then just drag them over into the newsletter. And now you've created a newsletter without any really additional work, and that you can then share out on a regular basis with your
network.
Yeah, your network, your followers. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, what as far as business and being in business, what do you think would be the best business advice you've ever received?
So yeah,
or if you could narrow it down.
Good question. Yeah, you know, I think something I think a quote that really sums up, I think, what I've learned, one of the biggest lessons I've learned over being in business was to be successful in business, start by finding some small hurdles to jump over. And once you get really good at that, then and know how to do it, then learn how to pole vault. And I think that some of my early on, I wanted to pole vault first. And I wanted to do the big thing and get out there and be a big product be a big product company like some of the others, and without finding some of the easy wins first and really building up to that. So I've been so I think that has really kind of changed the way that I approach anything. If I go into a new area or a new industry, I think that I'm going to do it in a way that that really builds up a little bit more gradually.
Good deal. I like it. What would you say, like, is a book that you recommend, or is there multiple books that you've read recently?
Yeah, you know, a couple that I'm rereading that I think have had. One is, and both of them really, I don't feel like they maybe are necessarily super business oriented, but one is the book called Flow.
Okay.
And it's by Mihai, and I always have trouble with his last name because it's very long, but it's Chizen Minhai. Okay. It's very long, but it is very, I read it when I was originally about 10 years ago, and because it was recommended with dealing with some two people who build user interfaces, and he talks about flow as a concept of what are the elements of optimal experience. And so it's something that's been on my mind a lot lately, just not in just the things I design, but in terms of just my own personal life. What am I, what are the elements that I need to be focused on for that optimal experience? The other one is not business related at all, but it's more as something else I've just really been reflecting on lately, and in my own and it affects my business, affects everything I do, and I don't know, it's technically a more of a theology book. Okay. It is based in some Christian theology, but I think that the takeaways that I get from it are a lot broader than just that. And anyway, the book is called Creation Regained. It's by a guy named Albert Walters, and it's a short, easy read. But the idea of it is that if you and you don't have to believe it, I think, to see the world this way. But the idea that if the world, was this idea of a perfect world, and if that the world that we're in now is certainly not perfect. So the question is, in our lives and in our businesses and in our culture and in everything that we do, are we moving the needle more towards that good and perfect world, or are we moving it away? And and there's a lot of definitions of what perfect is, and of course you can debate that. But in general, he goes through seven different areas and talks about how it's being regained, and I think that I look at that. My life and my business, and I'm always thinking about every decision I make, and am I moving that needle towards a better place, or am I moving it away from that? And so so that's something that kind of helps kind of drive me a little bit. It's always influenced me.
That's good. So Flow and Creation Regained, correct? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
I'm always reading two or three books at a time, so I'm glad to hear somebody else does the same. So, was there anything holding you back from, you know, becoming an entrepreneur or really, really doing your own thing when you started?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was for sure. You know, I was always a software developer and very technical, and I found myself doing more and more working with clients, but I never really, early on, didn't think of myself as an entrepreneur. And when I did think about going out on my own or building a product, I realized if I'm going out on my own, I got to do it all. I've got to be the marketing department as well as the production and the developer and support and everything until I can get people on board with me. And I wasn't, early on, wasn't confident. I think in hindsight, if I had to do it over, I would have gotten a partner to help me do those other things for me. But that is definitely what kept me from jumping out there on my own for a while.
Yeah, you're kind of a different breed in a good way, Jamie. Like, you know, a lot of software developers like to be, you know, just kind of in the computer, you know, not they don't really, and I hate to stereotype, but they don't have a lot of people skills, and you're very personable and very good with clients. Is that fair to say something like that as far as software developers not being the most people?
It's, you know, I think that is a traditional characteristic,
yeah.
But something that I've learned over time. First of all, I feel like I myself am an accidental software developer that I got in, and that I tend to want to work with people. And I learn, and I did software because it was also fun. And so, but a lot, I find the culture around software development changing dramatically. And I find that more and more that software developers are more, because I think it's an attractive field, more attractive to go into than it was, you know, when we were in high school.
Yeah.
And but because it's more public, and I think that a lot of the interesting things that are being done in our culture are being done by software companies, and they're setting. So I think that people want to be a part of that, and are and people who have always had the capacity, instead of going into things like either finance or something like that, are choosing things like software engineering and software development. And that allows, and because of that, I think that that the culture around the software developers is changing, and you're seeing a more social group and people who want to connect with others, and people who want to, and the nature of the tools they're building connect, has them wanting to connect with others. So definitely, I think that I am maybe, if I were, you know, an anomaly, not an anomaly, but maybe the exception 15 years ago, I don't think I am as much anymore. I think that you're seeing a lot more software developers really wanting to be a part of multiple areas of a business.
Yeah, that's good. And then just really, as we kind of close out, Jamie, real quick, any podcasts that you're listening to right now that you want to recommend?
Yeah, great question. You know, the one podcast I listen to regularly is the Stanford eCorner. I never miss an episode of that. They always bring good people in and have some answered some really hard questions. So it's always a good time.
Stanford eCorner. Okay, I haven't heard that one yet. I'll check it out. All right. Well, anything cool else, Jamie?
Man, I don't think so. I'm just so excited that you invited me to be on your podcast, man. It's so good to, you know, of course, been so good to reconnect with you, and I'm honored that you had me here.
Absolutely, man. We're honored to have you as well, Jamie. So stay tuned for our next edition. Thanks for listening to this edition of Create the Movement podcast. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement.